America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, just past 3 o'clock in the nation's capital and beyond, Team 980 and the Odyssey app. One more hour to go, a final hour of power, as some of us like to call it. Craig Hoffman coming up an hour from now. He'll take you home on a Wednesday afternoon. So, as Doc likes to tease Linnell, you know, every segment's got a theme and everything's got a, you know, slogan and whatever. So last week, Liddell says, oh, I want to do a stock report, right? And And we never got to it. We had it on the schedule and never got to it. So this week, I brought it back. I said, I want to do a stock report, right? Because that's what you wanted to do last week. And now Liddell is going to be tasked with doing a stock report that he's already done on TV. But maybe some of you missed it. So we're going to bring it back on the radio and say, here's the youngest in charge's stock report. Whose stock up, my friend?
Whose stock is up?
Yeah. Whose stock is up?
Whose stock
that's
is
power,
up?
That's the all-important question.
After...
Besides Jaden Daniels.
After a massive Monday night upset, a lot of people's stock is up.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to start with the franchise left tackle.
Okay.
Brandon Coleman.
But he's not the franchise left tackle.
Oh,
yet.
He's the franchise left tackle.
He's heading in the right direction. He's
the franchise left tackle.
He's heading in the right direction.
Played his most snaps of the season.
Yep.
Monday night.
Couple of really nasty
finishes.
He was doing some flapjack.
Couple of nice holes created in the running game.
Mm-hmm.
Nice job reach blocking.
Yep. What did I tell you on the night of the draft? I had a TCU offensive coach just say he's nasty. He's nasty. Nasty in a good way. And that you saw it play out. Now, he did give up the one sack to Trey Hendrickson, right? That's going to happen. But he mauled Trey Hendrickson at the point of attack.
To the point where I would love – I think he made Trey Hendrickson a little bit tentative. Excuse me, passive.
Tentative is fine.
Made him passive when it he made him passive based on the aggressive finishes. Based on
are you having issues over there? Are you okay?
Based on the vice grip that he has for hands.
Mm-hmm.
I scrolled across my Twitter timeline and there's a
What do I tell you all the time?
Not to scroll through Twitter. People are tweeting at us and we read their tweets during the show. Stock up for Brandon Coleman. I would say stock up for Austin Ekeler.
Uh-huh.
What he's done in the first 2 weeks, I actually...
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
2.5 games. Kind of.
Another thing I'm really worried about.
I'm concerned. Worried is strong. But I thought this offseason, I sat right here on this very program and said I was worried that Austin Ekeler would eat into Brian Robinson's snaps and take away from Brian Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Ekeler probably is the better of the two backs.
He's been the more dynamic of the two.
I'd say he's
is what I would say. Brian Robinson had 130 whatever rushing yards it was against the Giants.
I'm gonna call a spade a spade. I would say he's the better of the two backs at this point in time. And I'm trying to find the number because it is absolutely mind-boggling. Through three games, 22 touches. 204 yards, 9 yards per touch. That was in a half. and a half against Cincy. He went for 60 total yards and a touchdown. And that's not even accounting for he's the most dynamic kick returner in
the NFL. Well, he had a 98-yard kickoff return for a touchdown and a 62-yarder to start the second half.
Yeah, so like he's been amazing.
We slept on Austin Ekeler as a kick returner.
You know, I did.
In the preseason.
I think we did. That's fair to say. And I do have those numbers, by the way, on Jaden Daniels in the middle of the field, too.
Yes, please do that when we're done with stock up. Obviously, Jaden.
His stock is up.
Brandon Coleman, Austin Ekeler. Is there somebody that we're not thinking of?
Yes, there stock is. Stock up. I'm going to go out and say Benjamin St. Juiced. I thought Benjamin St. Juiced for the second consecutive week was brilliant. Playing through the whistle. Taking away the T. Higgins touchdown, did a really nice job. He gave up a touchdown, yes, to Ja'Marr Chase.
I thought
fine.
If the T. Higgins one back of the end zone, I thought if that was a better throw by Joe Burrow, that or if T. kind of went up maybe a little too high and lost his body balance a little bit, but St. Juice was there.
Yeah, I think St. Juice has been awesome. I thought Johnny Newton was the most impactful interior defensive lineman on Monday night, and was
I don't disagree with you on that.
The hustle, running downfield, chasing down screens.
Talked about it yesterday with Doc.
Double teams.
There was a couple of times where he just closed about 10, 12 yards of space. You know,
like
a snap
fast.
Of the finger. He's fast, and he's backside
fast.
Hustle is always going to get you more snaps and more work and more reps. And look, he hasn't done anything that jumps out to the casual fan just yet. But
he's beaten. He beat a double team.
Right, if he can stay healthy, it's coming. Right. And one thing we talked about last week, and I know we've talked about before and throughout the offseason, is Daron Payne was lined up at defensive end zone. Now PFF charts all the specific detailed positions. They've had him lined up as a left defensive end a lot this year. I'm not sure how they're grading that, like they had him, and I don't know if it's because sometimes they'll line up in a wide split or a wide nine or what have you. I don't know. All I know is, like, there is a way to get Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, and Johnny Newton, now that he's ramping up his work, there are ways to get them all on the field at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know.
There are different things you can do.
I think what you need to do is implement a five-man front, not put Daron Payne at defensive end. He was terrible at the end on Monday night.
That's what I'm saying. You can do a five-man front.
Getting out of his, he doesn't have enough pop getting out of his stance. He maybe needs to stand up if he's going to be a defensive end. He probably needs to play out of with his hand.
Okay, that's fine.
Out of the dirt. But Johnny Newton, someone I think is stock up. Javonte Jean-Baptiste. I keep saying Jean. It's Jean.
Jean.
Javonte Jean-Baptiste. I thought was awesome. I heard you highlight yesterday the move that I told you about on the phone the night prior.
Well, I don't see every play live because I'm taking notes or I'm tweeting or whatever. So when I went back and I watched it on a cut-up, the fact that he had like I don't know what that's called. Is that called a Euro step? Is that called a cross step? Whatever it is. But he just he jumps out of his stance and he cuts inside. And with a little bit of a swim move to the right guard, he just blows it up and zeroes in on Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow's got some athleticism and he's got some ability. He wasn't holding the ball for 7 seconds or anything like that. Yeah. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, whatever the hell, I just call him JJB. I mean, he just blew him up.
To be able to change direction at that size that quickly is frightening. Yeah. He may be... I think by season's end, he's your best edge rusher. He's got that type of talent.
I'm going to give stock up just real quickly before we move to stock down to two interior guys. Nick Allegretti, who we talked about, mentioned.
Yes.
Obviously, the seal on the Austin Ekeler touchdown is what everybody saw. Also, I would say this, the recovery of the fumble. Again, this team has come close to turning the ball over, and fumbling has been an issue. They have fumbled several balls, four, I think, if not mistaken, through three games. And they've recovered them all. But Allegretti has seemingly, for now, solidified an area that was certainly a concern or a question mark throughout the offseason, right? I mean, they went and signed him, and everybody said, well, that's great. He's never been a starter before. I said, except for the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl, in which he played pretty darn well in both of those games.
And to add to it, he was dog crap during camp. He was not good. I was I was the only one out there. I don't know how much I was the only one.
See why I sometimes dismiss that training camp doesn't, good or bad, always equate to what you're going to get in the regular season?
For sure.
And why it's a little bit overrated, quite honestly. I'm sorry. That's just the reality. Some guys are, like, I'll say this. I watched Kirk Cousins, Colt McCoy their entire time here, right? At so many training camps. They were the worst. They were terrible. And yet Kirk would come out and play in a game and he'd look like a completely different quarterback. Now, he was still a young guy at that point. But, you know, again, I've seen guys be awesome in camp and do diddly poo as soon as the lights really turned on. Either way, I want to get – and Tyler Biadasz.
Biadasz has got the third – he's via ESPN's run block win rate. He's got the third best win rate amongst all interior offensive line.
And that's pass blocking, right?
It's run block.
Oh, it's run block. Okay. Yeah, they're if you see on the Brian Robinson touchdown on that first scoring drive.
Yeah.
Now, the first play they kind of got blown up on. Second play, they would have gotten blown up on, but Cincinnati had a helmet in the neutral zone that didn't have anything to do with the play, and Biadasz got kind of pushed back a little bit. The third one to Robinson, the one they actually scored on, he quickly advances and thrusts through the hole to the second level and creates, not a Lincoln-sized tunnel, but, I mean, he creates enough of a hole that Brian Robinson waltzed right in.
His nickname is warranted, badass. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they really upgraded the interior of their offensive line, and I think it's making a huge difference in the run game. So I just gave you the number. He's third in the NFL amongst interior offensive linemen in pass block.
I'm also going to give stock up to a guy that you've been very, very, very critical on.
I gave him stock up last night. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Jeremy Chinn was really good the other night. I mean, in pass coverage, remember that third down pass breakup along the sideline? I think with Percy Butler, very physical. The missed field goal drive, talked about this on Twitter or maybe on the show yesterday. Jeremy Chinn had a big solid tackle on first down, the pass breakup on third down leading to the missed field goal. I thought Jeremy Chinn, everything that you had correctly pointed out in weeks one and two, where he was seemingly avoiding contact or olaying, I thought he was a completely different mentality, a completely different approach.
He was.
On Monday night.
He was, and the trend hopefully continues this week, because I've got a guy that I will call out tomorrow, and hopefully he takes the advice of his teammates. I called out Bobby Wagner after week one. He was awesome in week two.
He was.
I called out Jeremy Chinn week two. He was awesome in week three. John Allen and Deron Payne. You two highly paid pass rushing savants.
This is stocked down and then some.
This is stocked. They were horrible. God awful on Monday night. Go back and watch. They were God awful.
I mean, there's a play that I highlighted. Chad Ryan had the cut up of it, and I just added to it because I saw it when I was watching back the game. Deron Payne blows up the backup running back. Chase Brown.
And the play ends up going for a first down. It should have been a loss of five.
Well, he's in his he's in his arms. He's in his hands. He's bear hugging him. And he spins out of it, and he runs for 12 yards.
And Deron Payne does not pursue and hustle and chase after him. He stands and watches. Mm. That's the type of stuff, to me, that I don't have patience for. Him and John, they're so worried about doing their cool-ass handshake during pregame. John Allen,
you hate Jonathan Allen pregame.
I can't stand it.
I mean, for a year and a half now, you have been so anti-Jonathan.
Matt's doing the hand clap bit.
Yeah, but you've been so anti-Jonathan Allen for everything he does pregame. I mean,
I don't think they're
during the game, listen, he's just, like, I would say this. Like, I see Jonathan Allen hustling for the most part.
He's not
the
very
last
fast.
Year, calendar year, basically since midway through last year, maybe even before that. The last year, I'll just say, let's call it from like week three, week four on last year, until now, it's just been a lot of fluff, if you can even say that.
They're average.
Yeah.
But they're paid.
Yeah. I mean, you're
like they're the best in the world.
Did you hear Jay Gruden yesterday?
I didn't listen to Jay's.
Well, he said, I know those guys. He drafted them. He goes, yeah, they're not making enough plays. Which is not, you know, like, not saying.
Troy Aikman called him out during the broadcast several times. Joe Witt called him out.
This fan base, or I should say, the media group around here gets a lot of crap, right? A lot of us were wondering, questioning Terry McLaurin, talking about Terry McLaurin, impact this, that, what's the reason? Is he a number one? Blah, 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 blah. And Terry McLaurin comes out and the fans just want to bury us and say,
oh, you all are so stupid for talking
exactly.
about Terry.
You know who hasn't been wrong at all, period? I've been saying this, you know, again, since early last year. You've been very hard on John Allen, not as hard on Daron Payne. Like, the media group ain't wrong about these two guys.
No, they're not. They're not
media group ain't
enough
wrong.
Plays, yeah. Point blank, period. And the more disheartening thing about it is when Johnny Newton comes in, you can see the difference. Phil Mathis, I thought, had some really good snaps on Monday night.
Yeah.
But this is my thing with John and Daron. The success of this defense is solely dependent upon those two being game wreckers, and they're not. So now you all want to blame coaches.
Is it solely dependent, or is it dependent?
I would say it's solely dependent. I think that is what when you talk to them this summer and they were putting their fancy slogans on T-shirts and on billboards and on the wall and at Wawa, Dunkin', Chipotle. If you would have asked them why they felt this way.
It's funny when you make fun of people for slogans.
I'm the slogan king. But seriously, though, they're not, like, as you said, they're not making enough plays. And I think their thought process coming in here is that, hey, defensively we can do a lot because we've got something that we have lacked during our time in Dallas. Two badasses on the interior.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, whoever drafted Mozzie Smith, he was god awful.
Well, like Dan Quinn had to have something
had
to do
have
with
something,
that.
But they picked the but wrong not, guy. Not, he's been terrible.
All right, when we come back, one thing that drives me crazy about the defensive line and specifically the interior spot, one thing, and Linnell's got...
I have a declaration to make.
Before you make any silly declarations,
it's not silly.
You got to deliver on the Jaden Daniels intermediate numbers, okay? And then you can make your silly declaration. Or I shouldn't say silly.
Yeah, because it's not silly. It's data-induced declaration.
Linnell's sitting in the stats lab at 3:35 in the morning.
Come on, you get the notifications to your email when I'm logging in, don't you? You see how I'm up.
That's because you've stolen my passwords.
I'm a scammer.
On the Team.80 and the Odyssey app. All right, 3:22, Team.80, Odyssey app, always live and free there. You can catch the show. You can listen on Rewind. Every segment, Maddie's got it all carved up for you at Team980.com. That's the Team980.com as well. Coming up, cleanup on aisle three. We just did our stock report, and we were kind of bought. One thing I wanted to give a stock up on, just real quickly before I deliver the point about the defensive line. Special teams, which has been brutal in the first two games, penalties, all sorts of mistakes. Now, Cyber was great, obviously, against the Giants. Monday night, they were really good. I mean, from the start, Jeremy Reeves with a big hit, Nick Ballore with a big hit, Jeremy McNichols with big coverage and a big hit. Obviously, Cyber with the big field goal, that was really important. I think that made it a 8-point game, I want to say. I'd have to double check. Or maybe it was an 11-point game, what have you. I mean, obviously, Tress hasn't punted in 2 days, but he's been good on the holds. The snaps from Ott, is it Ott? We had him on the show when he first signed.
All right.
Have been very good. So, kudos. And obviously, Eckler with the big returns. And I still have a hard time, so did Dan Quinn, with the holding call that on Ballore that wiped out the 98-yard kickoff return for a touchdown at the start of the Giants game. So I just want to pay a little homage. Doc was trying to make that point, I think, yesterday, and I kept forgetting to let him set him up. So when I went back, watching the game slower and closer and rewinding every snap, and which takes me forever, but I'm trying to look for every little detail that I can to bring to the show throughout the week. It's not just a one day a week, just talk about. No, it's just little points and little conversation points, little highlights that you see, and nuance that you get on this show that you don't get on every other show. So I just wanted to point that out. One thing that drove me crazy Monday night, and I didn't notice it as much in week one and week two. I'm not saying it wasn't at all in week one and week two, but I didn't notice it as much. And I did notice it more Monday night, is they are, whether it's Mathis and Johnny Newton or whether it's Allen and Payne. They are aligning a lot too much for my liking. Their interior defensive tackles shaded to what I believe would be the outside shoulders of both guards, meaning the left guard in between the left guard and the left tackle, the right guard outside shoulder to the right tackle. They are splitting.
Wide in the B gap.
They are super. Well, it's they're leaving both A gaps, either side of the center, completely uncovered.
Yeah,
completely uncovered.
So it's a one gap scheme, right? When they are playing with, I think when they're in their base stuff,
mm-hmm.
they're lining up more normal. I think when they get to yep. their nickel stuff, they're yep. widening out.
But you
a
know what I'm talking
more.
About, yes. right? I mean, there's a wide
like
split for the two
Bobby
defensive
Wagner,
tackles.
They're asking Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu, whoever your yep. nickel backers are, to go basically beat up the guard
yes.
in the center.
And if they get picked off, or if they, you know,
but
sometimes
John and Deron maintain and Phil and Johnny maintain their like stay in their gap. The offensive lineman can't. It's your job not to. Because I play D tackle, I know about this. You don't allow the guard in the center to just run up on your backers like that. You have to. It's almost like chipping, in a way.
I agree.
Like you, that's on. Like the defensive tackle has responsibility in that too. But
I would say though, if you're lined up, you know what I'm talking about. Like if you're lined up a little bit more shaded towards the tackle.
Yes.
Okay.
They're on the outside shade of the
right.
guard. That's what,
which is technically like. You hear the term three technique for the right defensive tackle, usually, like Aaron Donald was three technique, right? That's lined up on the outside shoulder of the guard.
Mm-hmm.
If you line up both of your guys primarily in those gaps between the B and the C, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, they're getting gashed and they're getting creased too many times trying to be too aggressive by shooting gaps. And if you're not getting
and
home,
overrunning plays,
yeah.
they're getting double teamed. It's a mess. Their front seven is a joke. Their front seven, they're struggling.
We're going to talk about this tomorrow. But there were signs of life. There were signs of life. We're going to get into this
edge,
more tomorrow.
Yeah,
exactly. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Like
yeah.
like teams are saying, well, wait a second. If they're lined up wide like that, I mean, if I'm a quarterback, if I'm an offensive coordinator, whether it's whether it's a check, whether it's an audible, you know, whether it's an adjustment, or whether it's, hey, up in the box, look, they're lining up their guys this way. We got to crease them on a little delay draw or on a just straight cross phase handoff, whatever the case might be, because they're leaving a 5 foot gap
yeah.
wide open. They're not good enough to cover that.
And
this was some yeah. of the problem with Dan Quinn, quite honestly.
In Dallas.
But you also see it's still part of the problem in Dallas, too.
Well, they don't have the personnel. I think
is
why I thought it wouldn't be a problem here, because I thought we had the personnel in the interior, but we don't, because John and Deron are severely overrated.
All right, give me the point on Jaden Daniels and the intermediate passing.
Yeah, it was ironic to me, and this is from Brett Coleman, Underdog Fantasy, who does a really good job. He's when I say Underdog Fantasy, people are going to think, well, he's a fantasy guru. Not at all what he does. He's probably one of the smarter football guys out there. Like my thing is, like, pre-draft, what were the two big criticisms? Frame and not throwing to the middle of the football field, and then the pressure to sack numbers.
Mm-hmm.
As a rookie so far, when targeting in between the numbers, that's 10 to 25 yards, he's seventh in total yards.
Wait, in between the numbers in terms of the spot on the field, but
middle
at a distance of 10 to 25 yards?
Yes.
Air yards.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Seventh in total yards. He's 9 of 12, 75% completion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth in yards per attempt. Fourth in quarterback rating thrown to that portion of the field. In zero turnover-worthy plays to that portion of the field.
Mm.
Now, he missed one that was wide open to Noah Brown on the mesh concept that they had. But I think, you know what I'm talking about, where he takes that, where he tried to scramble through the middle of the
mm-hmm.
pocket, and he ends up getting like clipped after a yard gain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he throws that because Terry McLaurin is supposed to keep that route going to the sideline. Instead, he like stops,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't widen that defender, and I think that made Jaden hesitant to throw the ball. But like that portion of the field, I think he's been awesome. Now, he's still not pulling the trigger on everything,
mm-hmm.
but I still believe that he's going to continue to get better. And he's thrown, and this is the part of the nugget that Coleman gives, he's thrown twice as many passes in the middle of the field based relative to the fades thus far, which was his bread and butter in college.
Mm-hmm.
So not only he's leaned into that, and I think that's going to help the offense, but like him not seeing stuff, and this is why I like, it's one thing to go back and watch the film yourself, but like I like watching other people's all 22 film breakdowns, specifically mm-hmm. quarterbacks, because they're more, they still don't know exactly what the play is, but more likely than not, they have a better idea than I do. And on one of those plays that I just referenced, to the one that he didn't throw to Noah Brown, it's just why playing with detail on offense is so important, because every little thing matters. Terry sits down and keeps the defender there, makes it a tighter window throw for Jaden, causing him not to throw it, instead of taking his flat and running it all the way to the sideline, widening that defender, and it stops Jaden from making a throw. So when we're wondering why he's hanging on to the football, it's not just him being a young cat. It's not just him. It's other things that go into it.
There's always other things.
Yeah.
I do also think he's a little hesitant at times, where he doesn't see something right away, mm-hmm. and then the window closes.
Which is so ironic, because the processing is there's plays.
But you're not going to process everything perfectly. Just like we're not going to do every show perfectly or every segment perfectly, or we're not going to manage the clock perfectly. Speaking of which, we've got to manage the clock now and get a final trending alert. All right, the Commanders on a short week already, of course, out in Tempe at Arizona State, getting ready for practice later on this afternoon as Dan Quinn and the boys get ready to host, or visit, I should say, the Arizona Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury's return to the desert against his former quarterback in Kyler Murray. We'll see what he can cook up from an offensive standpoint. Meanwhile, the Cleveland Browns continue to struggle a little bit on offense. Deshaun Watson had a decent day against the Giants the other day, despite getting sacked 7 times. He said he's not seeking more designed quarterback run plays. He doesn't want to use his legs. Why? Because he's not a running back in his eyes. And that is true. He's a quarterback, a very highly paid one, and a largely unsuccessful one. Meanwhile, how about Kareem Hunt? He's getting set to play for the Kansas City Chiefs. They've activated him after cutting him 6 years ago, right? Last played there in 2018. Of course, they have all sorts of injuries at running back to get ready to take on Jim Harbaugh and the Los Angeles Chargers. Speaking of which, it appears a favorable injury report on Justin Herbert as the practice week begins for the Chargers tonight. Nationals and the Royals, 6:45, 106.7 The Fan, and the Odyssey app. Caps with a preseason game in New Jersey. That's right, the Capitals last night in Boston, a loss to the Bruins right here on the Team 980, and tonight they are also on the Team 980, 6:45, right after Craig Hoffman. And that's what's trending. Hey, CK, don't go anywhere. I think we have to put the youngest in charge on the injured list. He's apparently pulled an oblique from back patting himself so much, from Barry Horowitzing himself so much. He's apparently got an oblique muscle. He's going to have to go on the 15-day IL.
Do we need a nurse or something to come in here and help him?
I'm about to say, look, you all know how I get down. I play through all injuries. I'm a team guy. Any set of circumstances I pulled through with.
I don't know about a nurse. Maybe we need a social media specialist.
Physical therapist. Mental therapist.
Mental therapist.
I think we need two in here.
Yeah. I mean,
that's our fearless leader, Chris Kynard. CK, who you hear us reference. Yeah. Are you okay? Are you all right?
CK's come up with an interesting diagnosis.
Uh-huh.
He said, maybe I pulled a muscle.
Yeah.
I have been trying.
Yeah, I was the one that said from back patting yourself.
Well, no, not from back patting. I've been trying some new moves, I would say.
I don't know about y'all, but I could use an aspirin for this headache that's forming, so.
Ibuprofen, Matt. Works very well. Or a Diet Mountain Dew. Thank you very much.
Is that part of the birthday candy?
It is. It is.
Attaboy.
It's still in the refrigerator. Somehow it hasn't been stolen. I guess I haven't stolen my own soda. Anyway.
How does that taste?
Diet Mountain Dew?
Yeah, I don't like diet soda.
You're crazy. It tastes wonderful. It's awesome.
Oh, wow. We have breaking news, guys. Oh, you were going to tell us, weren't you?
Sorry. Before we get to the breaking news,
okay.
I would just say this. I'm such a big fan of diet soda. Like, it is probably the one thing I cannot live without. And I know that, you know, I mean, like, food or drink item. I don't mean.
I was about
like
to say.
I mean, you could take away. You could take away anything. You know, like meat, vegetables, lettuce, whatever, chips, lettuce. All that stuff. I mean,
you're
I eat a lot of salad.
Double Mountain Dew.
I am just diet Mountain Dew. I can't stand the motor oil nonsense that you people like. Anyway, what's the breaking news there, big boy?
Thank you, Matt. Commanders running back Austin Ekeler ruled out with a concussion this week.
He's already been ruled out for the game.
Yeah.
Which tells you it was a pretty severe concussion.
I think the travel logistics have something to do with it as well.
And them not
wanting to push the protocol with them being so far away.
I do too.
But
I was surprised to hear him go back to Virginia. And as soon as I heard that, I thought that was bad news because he stayed overnight in Cincinnati instead of traveling with the team. But then he went back to Virginia instead of continuing on Arizona. Yes, he did.
Man.
But for them to rule him out as early as they did.
It's a massive blow, but I'm here to tell you all. One, I think Brian Robinson is capable of stepping up. Two, I think Michael Wiley gets called up off the practice mm-hmm. squad in favor of Chris Rodriguez. But mm-hmm. maybe that comes down to special teams because Chris Rodriguez made a couple of really good special teams tackles during the preseason. So I don't know if that plays in his favor. But
right, because they have both. And yeah. McNichols obviously will be active.
But I think McNichols had two culture-defining plays on Monday night. The special teams tackle that he made – I don't think y'all understand. Like y'all,
well, that's why I mentioned.
But when you're on the practice field and like you're a running back, you're a wide receiver, and they ask you to play special teams, I'm gonna tell you what their real reaction is in real time. No skill. Nobody wants to play special teams, dog. I'm telling you, it is the hardest thing to get people to buy into. It's no glory in it. This is where the pain. It hurts. And like. For McNichols to make the tackle that he made on special teams, for him to make the block that he made in pass pro, he's selfless. He's a veteran. He embodies everything that
that's what you have to do to be on the roster. No offense. When you're Jeremy McNichols, those are the things you have to do. But you know the difference.
But you don't want to do those.
No, I know. But you know what? I don't want to do a lot of things. I don't want to drive 3 hours every day back and forth.
But you want to get that check, don't you?
Well, sure.
Exactly.
And I need to keep your ass straight. All right, it's time to do what we do at this time, roughly, give or take, every day.
So if Matt's okay with it.
It's time to take out the mop. It's time to take out the broom and clean some things up. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Oh, yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. A story that we mentioned during one of the trending alerts and earlier that I wanted to get to is quarterback Matthew Sluka, I believe, is how I'm saying his name, from UNLV, has left the team over what his agent is now calling claims of an unfulfilled verbal NIL promise. His agent, Marcus Cromartie, whoever that is, said to ESPN that UNLV didn't come through on a verbal offer of $100,000 from an assistant coach in order to get Sluka to play at UNLV. Meanwhile, head coach Barry Odom said later in a phone conversation that the offer wasn't valid because it didn't come from him, but rather from offensive coordinator Brennan Marion. And he has a further declined statement, meaning the head coach, UNLV, the program, in a statement today that said that Sluka's, quote, representative made financial demands upon the university and its NIL collective in order to continue playing, end quote. I have a feeling, you and I have not talked about this, but I know how you operate. You defend players at all costs for those that you like. and you think everybody should be paid handsomely and everybody there should be unlimited funds. So I imagine you're on Mr. Sluka's side in this?
I am, because college football has turned into a business. And I don't. This has been reported by The Athletic. It was the father.
Yeah.
Basically saying...
I just said that, yeah.
Yeah. If they lied to him about how much money they were supposed to give him, and they keep trying to defer the payments and defer the payments and defer the payments... College football is a business, man. If you were told that you were going to get a $180,000 check, or you were told that you were going to get $4,500 a paycheck, but your first check comes in at $2,000, and they said, oh, we'll give it to you on the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, I'd quit. That just is what it is at this point, man. You're going to see this a lot in college. This is the problem. UNLV, and you're going to see other schools do this. UNLV doesn't have the coin to get some of the top recruits in the country. So what are these schools going to start doing? They're going to start lying so they can acquire talent and then say that they're going to pay them down the line. They're going to try to backload their NIL deals, and it's on players.
Well, is that
to
exactly
to step
what happened
up.
Here? Because that's not, I mean, some of the details that I have, maybe you have different details. Apparently the quarterback through UNLV's collective, did get a one-time $3,000 fee paid out over the summer, according to the guy who manages the collective for UNLV, right? So you assume that's true. Said the agents first made contact with the collective in late August to discuss future opportunities to work together. He said the guy who runs the collective was not aware of any promises to pay the quarterback, Sluka, $100,000, and Sluka had not contacted the collective about missing payments as far as he knew. So they're saying that a promise was made, not that actual payments, if I'm interpreting this right, a promise was made, not that actual payments were missed. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I have, again, the manager of the collective, again, he works in concert with UNLV, obviously, saying they did pay him a $3,000 fee.
But this is the problem. They get to lying during the process. Now, if there's nothing on paper...
Why isn't the player and the father lying?
If there's nothing on paper...
Yeah.
If there's nothing on paper, then that's where I look at Sluka and the dad and say, well, business. Like I said, it's a business. You got to get these deals done on paper so that this can't happen. Because I know how it goes. They walk into the house of the family. They're having dinner. They're jocking the kid up, telling him how good he's going to be. Yeah, buddy, we'll give you $100,000. But they only have it in writing that it's $3,000. And the promise is made to seal the deal. The verbal promise is made to go over the top. It's like when you and your, you know, if you and your lady friend, you go on a date and, you know, you're looking for her to, you know, cover the half of the bills for this month. And you say, baby, I'll rub your feet when we get home. It's not in writing, but she knows that, hey, I'm mentally preparing to pay your half of the rent this month because you said you'd rub my feet. Hard example to stick with, probably, but yeah. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The verbal promise from the university was made to push the deal over the top. And I think we're going to see that more and more.
But promises can be like, hey man, we'll take care of you. We'll get you squared up. Is different than I promise to pay you $100,000. You right? I mean, like there are differences in terms of how people interpret what gets told to them and what they see.
Yeah.
So we're stuck here in a situation, and again, I don't know how some of the stuff works. Like, are there individual contracts? Like, are players signing individual, like, actual contracts? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give you a for instance, right? Mm. Like, I don't work under a contract. I'm one of the few talk show hosts ever in the history of mankind that doesn't work under contract. I trust that Odyssey will pay me every 2 weeks, and they trust that I'll come in and do the show. Like, you know, sometimes you get that. Sometimes you get, hey, man, we'll square you up. We'll take care of you. Just have faith in us. Buy into us. You know, and some people take that as a promise, and some people don't take that as a promise. It's a complex story and more time than we probably have to deal with. But I mean, just wanted to pay that off.
Another part of the Commander's puzzle, by the way. Cleveland Farrell ruled out as well.
So already they're ruling out two guys. That's weird that they would rule them out that quickly.
Yeah, give them time and don't. Yeah,
well,
give them time. Don't
why give
it.
Arizona time? You know, like if you don't have to rule somebody out, like why do it on a Wednesday? That's kind of weird. All right, tonight at Nationals Park, 6:45, one of the remaining home games of the year, and well, there's not that many. There's only four left. I should say five left. I should say the Phillies are coming in over the weekend. Tonight, DJ Hers versus Jared Lorenzen. And you might know that Michael Lorenzen.
Not Jared Lorenzen. The fat quarterback?
Yeah, not him. Michael Lorenzen. You might remember the last time Michael Lorenzen pitched against the Nationals. It was for the Philadelphia Phillies. He no-hit them last summer. The Nationals. The Nationals have been shut out 17 times already this year, including last night in 10 innings. They get a good pitching performance from Mitchell Parker. Bullpen does a good job. An error in the 10th, scoring the Kansas City run. Kansas City was desperate. They had lost seven in a row. They were fading. They're in playoff contention still, but boy, did they need a win. And they went out and got a 1-0 win. Tonight, DJ Hers with his last start of the year. He's 4-8 with a 4.30 ERA. Certainly an impressive first year or so. Less than a year. But you get the point. Run with the Nationals. Again, the Nationals with a six-man rotation. So everybody pitching from here on out, including Mitchell Parker last night, making their final start of the year. 6:45, 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Today's game day weather is looking better than, well, yesterday. Expected to be cloudy and maybe somewhat overcast, but a very low percentage chance of raining. Now, we should always caution you that weather reports can change, because yesterday we had a somewhat favorable report, and then it immediately changed right after the show, and the skies opened. They did get the game in, but it was about 40 minutes late. But tonight, right around game time, 71 or degrees or so, dropping into the high 60s and about a 15% or less chance of rain for the night. Today's game day weather presented by Pepco. Storm season is here. We know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. Coming up next, Dumb Dumb of the Day. I have no idea what we're doing. We'll figure it out real quickly next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, wrapping it up before Craig Hoffman takes over and takes you home on a Wednesday afternoon. Don't forget, Caps and the New Jersey Devils preseason action. Alex Ovechkin expected to make his preseason debut amongst others, including Dylan Strom tonight at 6:45. John Walt and Ken Sabrin on the call from the Prudential Center in New Jersey, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. You know what time it is.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Oh, yes, indeed. Headline in the Washington Times. Ex-New York City COVID advisor fired after a video revealed that he attended sex parties during the pandemic. That's right. He was a COVID advisor, a New York City official, a government employee who helped coordinate the city's response to the pandemic, He was fired from his private sector job after a video recording showed him talking about attending a sex party and other private gatherings when the city was urging people to practice social distancing. His name is Dr. Jay Varma, terminated again from his private position as executive VP and chief medical officer at SIGA, S-I-G-A Technologies, a New York-based pharmaceutical company who disclosed this information in a filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. He was a health advisor to Mayor, Bill de Blasio from April 20th through May 21st, regularly appeared at press conferences, COVID-19, all of that, urging people to get vaccinated. And then in a hidden video, camera video, where have we heard this before? He was talking to a woman about attending gatherings, even as he was dealing with this job. He said, quote, "I did all this deviant sexual stuff while I was on TV. And people were like, aren't you afraid? Aren't you embarrassed? And I was like, no, I really like being my authentic self. But yet he was waving his finger at everybody to practice safe distancing and who knows, safe sex. So for that, sir, you know what time it is.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
Yep, people are stupid. This is undefeated. Craig Hoffman coming up next. Caps hockey at 6:45. Back together with Linnell tomorrow for Throwdown Thursday. Talk about the defense, front seven versus the secondary, and more. Commanders getting ready to practice. Again, they've already ruled out Austin Ekeler and Cleland Farrell, as we just found out. Thanks to Matty Ice on the other side of the glass. Thanks to all the calls. Good job out of you guys. The first 2 hours plus of the show. Again, we'll see you tomorrow at 1 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.